Our first case for argument, Civil Liberties for Union for Urban Believers versus Chicago. Mr. Mock.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is John Malk, and I represent Club and the appellant churches. The lower court opinion considers that religious land use is tangential to religious exercise because it does not directly regulate religious belief. But the record contains uncontroverted testimony of two experts for the defendants and seven pastors that the ability to own a permanent meeting place, a permanent meeting facility, is integral to their religious exercise in many ways, and the zoning code and city action have severely burdened that exercise. While the lower court did not appear to fully understand the two controlling Supreme Court cases, Employment Division versus Smith and Lukumi versus Hialeah, the briefs of Chicago recognize their direct applicability all too well and struggle in vain to avoid their controlling authority. Smith and Lukumi had four and five concurring and or dissenting.
Speaking of authorities, do you know we have a rule saying you're not supposed to read your arguments? Just while we're talking about rules.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. In those two cases, every judge, in both opinions, every justice on the Supreme Court would apply a compelling interest test to this case, because religion is directly regulated. Churches are explicitly zoned and treated distinctively.
Is there a grandfather provision for churches? If a church were in a residential area and then the area converted to business or commercial or manufacturing, would the church have to move? Or
no.
Grandfather?
I don't know that there's an explicit grandfather clause in the Chicago ordinance. There may be, but the courts have uniformly given grandfather treatment.
Well, it would be a non-conforming use at any event.
Yes, yes. So that's non-conforming use is essentially a grandfather clause. So a church that's been around can stay, and this applies for really, the long-established denominations don't have a problem here. It's the minority churches, the immigrant churches, the fast-growing churches, the new religions that need space in the dynamism of a changing city and economy and changing land use. Those are the ones that have problems, not the well-established
ones. Now,
under the new
club, maybe you could remind us, or I don't have it clear in mind, what kind of what kind of uses in B and C and M maybe are permitted without their having to get a special permit, which you regard as like churches? I'm thinking of your equal protection argument.
Well, that really has to be addressed in two areas. There was an amendment to the code in 2000. When we filed this lawsuit in 94, clubs and lodges, community centers, meeting halls were freely allowed, and our churches were required to get permits and turned down. So we believe we're entitled to damages.
Right. But I'm thinking the new one.
those particular uses are now required to get special use permits wherever they go. But we still have libraries, funeral parlors, theaters, and less directly comparable restaurants, taverns.
What about universities?
Universities, colleges, trade schools are all freely permitted.
They are?
Yes.
So what did you say after theater? You said libraries, funeral parlors, theaters, colleges. What else?
Auction houses, amusement places, bowling alleys, gymnasiums, health clubs.
What is Michigan Avenue zoned?
Probably commercial, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Where in Michigan?
I was thinking down here in the south part, we have a lot of non-commercial, you know, the Chicago Club and the Athletic Club and the Art Institute School and all that.
The zoning isn't by street, it's by block, and it's sometimes from door to door it changes. The city has over 600 separate map amendments every year, which the city expert has said shows that our code doesn't work. To actually change the map so that something becomes residential or commercial or C1 to C2, that happens over 600 times. The city code, the map amendments, which are supposed to be under most cities, very rare, are commonplace. And these are legislative acts, and this goes beyond the special use. This is where the aldermen change the law and say you're now a B zone instead of a C zone.
Well, what's the difference between C1, 2, and 3, where you are permitted with a special use permit to have a church, and C4, where you're not?
Well, the way the city code is set up, starting from B1 through B7 and then C1 through C4, it was originally set up progressively that B1 was the most restrictive, and then B2 allowed the same uses as B1 and on up, and then C1 allowed all the B uses, and then C2 was more generous, and C3 was most generous. C4 is a very narrow district where it's primarily for transportation facilities, so that's a pretty small a district, and it doesn't quite follow the same pattern as the C1, 2, and 3.
And churches are not allowed there?
Churches are not allowed in C4, and they're not allowed in any of the B or C districts except by special use permit.
But C4 is...
Not allowed.
Flat prohibition without a...
Without no special use.
And is that true with M?
It is true with M. There's light manufacturing and heavy manufacturing, but churches are not allowed.
What about restaurants or diners or bars? Are they forbidden in M also?
No. No, not in M1. I'm not sure about M2. M2, which is heavy industrial.
So M, you can have bars, but you can have churches?
You can have bars, but you can't have churches, correct. The city's asked us in a brief, and has asked this court to not apply the compelling interest test because there's no proof that the city is deliberately discriminating against churches. They try to distinguish the Lacumi case.
Let me ask you another question. There are residential classification, poor parts of the city, are they poor residential districts? Are they also, or...
Yes.
It's not just the fancy part?
No, the general pattern is that the major streets are commercial or business. The western...
And the side streets then are the residential.
Right, and behind the street frontage, everything is residential. There are some exceptions, and the code was quite pockmarked, actually, after 46 years of... ad hoc amendments. The city chief city planner said our code doesn't work anymore, it needs to be replaced, and the head of the zoning office said it's dysfunctional, but they're trying to make us wear a 1957 set of clothes that hardly fit in the year 2002. I don't think we could run our offices with 1957 office equipment or our law practices, but the city's still trying to make do with a very politically controlling system here, and that's one of the main grievances that we have, that there's just way too much political decision-making that goes on. Both city experts testified that politics was a consideration in the special use hearings. In the rezonings, they're totally politics because there are no standards at all. It's a change of the law. And in the planned developments, which cover the 500 member churches, there are no standards at all that the city must abide by. They have guidelines, but the legislature...
Are there special zoning rules for adult bookstores or other, red light type activities?
Yes, there's a special zoning section of the zoning ordinance that applies to adult uses and gives particular standards.
Can they be in manufacturing zones? Well, where are they?
I believe they can, but I'm not sure what zones they're allowed in. But the city has to. There are several burdens under the ordinance that the city puts on itself in order to deny a special use permit to an adult use.
Mm-hmm.
Another major problem that the churches have in the residential areas is there's just no property available.
Your experts testifying about the political implications of decision making. Did he define what sort of political motivation other than the support of the community that elected finding that politics snuck into something the politicians do is not exactly a shock, I think, to the
No.
world at large.
No.
But if you're supporting your constituents' desires, you'd be doing precisely what you're supposed to do as a legislator, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, did he define, your experts define?
Well, these weren't our experts. These were city experts being deposed.
No, the experts you cited.
Yes.
They may not be your experts. They were experts.
They did not define that, and I would agree that it's doing what the neighbors want.
Right.
That's generally what happens.
Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely wrong. If the neighbors don't want a different race or they don't want a different socioeconomic group, well, why should churches have to come in and please their
neighbors? I was talking about the general proposition that people who are elected by a constituency doing what the constituency wants, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, they're behaving like the system requires them to behave.
That way.
Thank you, Mr. Sturgill from the Department of Justice. Going to take a couple of our minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mount. Mr. Sturgill.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Lowell Sturgill from the Department of Justice representing the United States. The United States has intervened in this matter to defend the constitutionality of the land use provisions of the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. District Court did not reach that issue. We're not urging you to necessarily do so either, but we are here to urge you to uphold those provisions if you decide to reach them.
Do you have any view on the issues raised by the appellant, for example, the equal protection challenge to the ordinance?
We've not taken a position on the merits of the case in any respect. We do believe that the land use provisions of the RLUIPA should be upheld as a valid exercise of Congress's powers under Section 5 of the 14th Amendment. As explained in our brief, what Congress did in passing RLUIPA was codify existing Supreme Court principles, primarily from the Free Exercise Clause.
Why was that necessary if 1983 gives a remedy for constitutional violations?
The committee reports explain that the purpose of this was to put the local land use authorities on notice of what the Constitution actually means and to provide for ease of enforcement. And you could see how that would be the case. It's one thing for an attorney to walk into a land use body and try to explain general principles of constitutional law. It's another thing entirely to be able to take in a statute where it's written out so that everybody can see it clearly. And that was really the point of the statute. And Congress has done that before in other areas, such as the Equal Access Act. It's not an unusual kind of thing. Title VII is another example. So this distinguishes the case also from the Flores case, where the Supreme Court struck down the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. In that case, the court said that Congress, in enacting RFRA, had gone far beyond what the Constitution requires. Well, Congress, in this statute, basically, again, codified constitutional principles and thus did not violate the principle that Flores sets out.
Do you think that the federal legislation contemplates that you can put a church almost any place?
Well, we haven't taken a position on exactly what the...
Well, how broad does it go? I mean, if they... Is it that they can open... anybody with a religious bent who wants to open a church can do it any place Otherwise, if they are prevented from doing so, it's a violation of the federal rule?
Well, first of all, there are several...
Well, that's a simple question. I mean, is there a simple answer to it, or is it more complicated than that?
I think it's more complicated. Let me try to be responsive in two ways. First of all, the federal statute bans discrimination against religious institutions or treating them on less than equal terms with other institutions.
What is a religious institution?
It would be any kind of an assembly, a body that's using a church building for a religious use. The statute talks about the exercise of religion.
Well, we're talking about a building. They're complaining that they don't have a building. So if they don't have a building, they don't fall within the definition that you've described.
Well, the purpose of the statute is to basically prohibit discrimination against churches in their ability to hold meetings. Congress thought that churches need to have places to hold meetings, and they need to be able to own property, and they were trying to basically ban discrimination.
So we're back where I was. Can they, under the federal rule, is it their zoning doesn't have anything to do with where they can enter? They can just decide they want a piece of property and start a church there.
Well, there are two provisions. Under the non-discrimination provisions, they just have to be treated like everybody else, so that they don't have an affirmative right to just go wherever they want. They just can't be discriminated against. There's another provision of RLUIPA that says where there's a system of individualized exemptions, then churches can't be banned unless the government has a compelling interest. And that is sort of a little bit different than the discrimination provision. But those are the two provisions, and I'm out of time, so
okay,
I probably
thank you,
sit
Mr.
down.
Spiritual. Ms. Dollar?
Thank you, Judge Posner. May it please the Court. Two facts are undisputed in this case. First, there are more than 2,000 houses of worship operating in the city of Chicago. Second, after litigating this case for 6 years, Club was unable to identify a single church that ultimately, for economic or logistical reasons, was unable to locate a property suitable for its needs. The ordinance represents permissible land use planning, and it survives constitutional attack. This morning, I will...
Well, what I don't understand about the ordinance is why churches have been singled out as a specified land use with special regulations, rather than being grouped with other assembly-type non-commercial activities. Theaters, colleges, libraries, so on.
Well, I have two responses to that. And the first is that under the February 2000 amendments, they are treated just the same in the B and C districts as the majority of the uses that you just
I'm
named.
Sorry. Well, this is what I asked Mr. Mauck. Are there any... similar land uses to church uses that in B and C that don't require a special permit?
Right. We say no to that, Your Honor, and that's actually my second reason. My first reason is that as for the meeting halls, the clubs...
You mean he's wrong about the libraries, the funeral parlors, the theaters, the colleges, and so on?
He is correct that those are permitted without a special
permit. Right. Well, how are they different from churches?
Theaters are commercial businesses. People pay. They go to dinner before or after. They bring business into the community. Churches are different from theaters. Churches are different from restaurants.
They may be different from theaters. How are they different from colleges, from funeral parlors, libraries?
He doesn't go to church a lot, you can tell, but go ahead.
colleges and universities tend to be... We're talking now about rational basis, and I can explain why
well,
I say that in
basis,
a moment. But
you know, as in Cleburne, this is a sensitive use. This business of having a city telling churches where they can build is not quite the same as telling where they can put adult bookstores.
Well, and we haven't grouped the churches with the sexually oriented businesses. They are all special uses. They are not allowed as of right anywhere in the city, and of course churches are allowed as of right in residential districts. But which is of course one of the biggest reasons that we do treat other businesses differently.
I still don't see why you have to single out churches and treat them differently from colleges and
well,
so on.
Well, as I say, we
have... It's not clear your 2000 amendment eliminates the lawsuit because, you know, they do claim that the earlier law delayed them and caused them harm. But, right. but putting that aside, well, how do you distinguish a church and a college?
A church and a college are different, at least in the sense that a college, they tend to be much larger. They don't break up the business flow in the same way that a church does.
I don't get that because all the little commercial stores in B and C, I mean, they're small.
But they bring a cohesive business character to the neighborhood.
No, but look
they
at
have
Michigan.
Spillover
look at
effect.
Michigan Avenue. Up. I mean, look at Michigan Avenue here on the South Loop. And you can walk up and down those streets. You have a drugstore. You have the Symphony. You have the Chicago Club. You have the Savvy Traveler. You have a bank. You have dentists and psychiatrists. It's a complete mishmash. It doesn't correspond at all to your picture you draw in your brief of, you know, coherent commercial districts that are like a mall. I mean, the North Side, you know, Magnificent Mile is like that, but the rest of the city isn't like that.
Well, much of South Michigan is probably zoned residential now, so
along Michigan Avenue, there's no residential, there's no apartment buildings in this section right here.
I believe they are going in, but without regard to that, the reasons why churches are treated differently in the B and C district, as I say, it has several pieces. The first is that churches are allowed as of right in every residential district. No business or commercial entity is. And because they have free access to all of the churches have free access to the residential district.
That's a very
it
bad
is rational
argument because just telling the land, telling them, well, we've reserved a particular place for you, but that place may be quite unsuitable, you know, for these new churches. So
I didn't mean
to me. You have to. You can't just. You know,
right. That's not our
defend.
Argument.
All right. It's not your. All right. So what? We just focus on B and C or M.
But the reason
the
reason the residential use districts are relevant is not because we have attempted to reserve what we regard as a better location for them, even if it doesn't fit their needs. If it doesn't fit their needs, then they come to us and ask for a special use permit.
No,
I
understand.
Why we allow them.
But
in,
it
sorry,
makes Anna. A big difference whether you have to ask for a special permit or you don't. So I'm asking you, why is it that a college, you know, a bunch of rowdy kids and so on, they can... locate freely in B or C, but a church can't.
One of the reasons they can locate freely in B and C is because they are excluded from R. And that's why I say the R classification matters. Not because we have attempted to reserve it for the churches if they don't want to be there, if it doesn't meet their needs. If it doesn't meet their needs, they can come in on a special use permit for B and C. But you have to allow... I'm sorry, Jim.
In round numbers, what the percentage of the city is zoned R?
It's the majority of the land in the city that is available for development. And the reason I qualify it that way is because there are some public uses, you know, parks and playgrounds and police stations and public buildings where land simply isn't available. But the R district has the majority of the land that is available for development by anybody. And it is reserved right off the bat for churches. They can locate any place they want as of right. Beyond that, they can also locate in B and C districts on the very same terms as meeting halls, clubs and lodges, recreation buildings, and community centers. And of the uses that are allowed as of right in the B and C districts, we say there is not a single one of them that is so similarly situated to churches
well,
that it is...
I still don't see how colleges are different.
The land they use becomes a campus, of course, and businesses tend to locate around the campus.
It's kind of self-contained, you mean?
It is self-contained, and it doesn't break up the business flow. And what I mean by that is, when you have a street that is attempting to attract people either to come in by public transportation, to come in by car, to walk several blocks to get there. You need a spillover effect. You need to not take off, you know, two and three storefronts for a non-commercial purpose where no one is, you know, where it is unlikely.
With these little commuting colleges that are scattered around the loop here.
Trade schools are not allowed everywhere that larger colleges and universities. Trade schools are not allowed everywhere. Professional schools
and Strayer and of course Roosevelt and so on.
Well, we're talking here, as I say, about rational basis. And the question is, having excluded businesses from residential neighborhoods, is it rational to allow them as of right in other places of the city? I mean, if you don't allow them as of right other places in the city, you, of course,
why do you care about keeping them out of a manufacturing district?
Manufacturing districts are wholly unsuitable for churches.
Well, let them make that decision. I don't understand you.
Judge Posner, we actually can't be indifferent to the risk of great incompatibility.
Why?
Because people forget that they've moved to the nuisance. We've been in litigation over O'Hare for decades. People in Bensonville and other places surrounding O'Hare forgot that they moved to that area because O'Hare was there. Now they sue us because they think O'Hare is a nuisance. We're in court on that lawsuit. People forget. And when it doesn't work, and we have made a rational decision.
I don't understand you. I mean, the state can accept or can defend the principle that... It can accept or reject the principle of coming to a nuisance is a defense. They reject it, if not a defense. What's wrong with a changing neighborhood? Suppose a bunch of churches move into a manufacturing district, and as a result the character changes, and eventually they bring an action for nuisance against manufacturing. That's what the law permits.
They can absolutely go to city council and ask for rezoning. This case does not, we do not in any way challenge that right. And if city council makes the decision that it is best for the city as a whole to give up some of its manufacturing corridors, then that's for city council, and that's a legislative prerogative. But to try to move into the neighborhood and force the manufacturing districts out, either by lawsuits or by political pressure, after they've moved to the nuisance, that is a problem because manufacturing businesses don't want to come in where the neighbors are going to object. There are commercial establishments, restaurants and bars, with liquor licenses that can't move into a neighborhood if a church is there. That's by state law. There's a prohibited zone. So it matters where you put the church, and it is rational for the city to care about these things ahead of time. Land use planning is planning ahead of time.
Is Mr. Mack correct that churches, either as a practical or legal matter, are grandfathered?
That is correct. Any legal nonconforming use.
Doesn't this system you have favor established churches over newcomers?
It favors them only in the sense that we don't try to kick them out.
Well, the grandfather clause applies to a lot of things churches. It applies to everything. You got a saloon, they can't zone you out. They can vote you out as a group, but they can't zone you out.
Correct. You can't grandfather a business that isn't there, of course. So the grandfather provisions, by definition, only apply to an established business. I want to address for a minute your question, if I was perceiving it correctly, on the damages and the prior ordinance. As we read Club's brief, they do not make any different challenge on free exercise grounds to the ordinance before the amendments and the ordinance after the amendments. And so although we think the amendments eliminated any doubt whatsoever that there was any inequality, if we are right now, we were right then, and
they
were wrong.
I think the strongest argument is an equal protection Claiborne-type ground.
And that is, on that issue, Judge Posner, we don't make an argument that the case, that the equal protection claim directed to the prior version is moot. we think it's wrong because we think that that ordinance was rational even
really,
then.
That's much more difficult to defend, isn't it? I mean, how do you distinguish the clubs from the churches? They seem very similar.
Well, and we have come to believe that they are more appropriately treated the same way as churches, and under the new version, they follow exactly the same procedures.
Yeah, but you have to defend the old version, don't you?
We do, and the defense is that it was rational to allow those kinds of entities access to parts of the city as of right, just in the way that churches had access to other parts of the city. Now you can debate
because they were not allowed in our.
That is absolutely because they were not allowed in R, and that is absolutely the reason. Now, you know, we could debate all day which location is better for churches or any other businesses, and when one reads the body of cases, what you see is that by and large churches want to be wherever they are excluded from. Most of the decided cases
actually defend a rule which said that because churches are freely allowed in residential districts, they are banned absolutely from the rest of the city?
I think it would be a tougher case, but of course that's not this case.
Do you think that would be constitutional?
I think the question at bottom is one of reasonable access.
That's not an answer to my question, though.
I'm sorry, Judge. I am certainly endeavoring to be responsive.
No, I just asked you whether it would be constitutional to have a flat ban on churches in all areas except R.
Tell
them it might be. See what happens.
I'm loath to try it, Judge. Perhaps you
I
would
can't
do that for me. But
well, what if 95% of the city was R?
And R was freely available? That is exactly why I say the question is reasonable access. Under the free and let me separate for a moment, free exercise and equal protection. Free exercise claims before Smith and as far as four circuits are concerned, again, writing before Smith, four circuits have held that the location of a church is not an undue burden on the exercise of religion. And when one reads those cases, one discerns that the principle that is being applied is whether there is reasonable access and reasonable ability to establish
a
church.
What percentage of Chicago is zoned R?
It is a majority. It is 40% is zoned R.
40%. So
and
are
a majority
you saying,
of the, and a majority of the land available for development is
okay,
R.
40% is R. So are you saying it would be constitutional to say that, you know, 40% is enough and therefore we're banning churches from the rest?
Unless there were a showing that the inability to locate a church within R in fact constituted.
Well, that strikes me as very odd, actually. So you have a ban against churches, every all sorts of other things can go into the rest of the city, like colleges, but not churches.
I'll just wrap up very briefly with the free exercise point, and that is to cite Corporation of Presiding Bishop versus City of Porterville. That is a dismissal by the U.S. Supreme Court for want of a substantial federal question of a claim brought by a church that was allowed to locate only in the most intensive district there, and it was a small percentage of the city of Porterville, was the agricultural use only. And the Supreme Court dismissed that for want of a substantial federal question. The court has never questioned that, and as I say, four circuits have embraced the rule that it reflects on the free exercise claim. That as long as that the mere desire of the plaintiff to locate a church wherever it wants is not an undue burden on the free exercise of religion. Churches tend to want to go wherever they are not allowed if it is more attractive or if it is more economical, and you can always say that. And the allegations in Klutz's brief on why they think residential is not suited for their needs really doesn't show any more than that. It's not enough for us. But we do believe that claim is foreclosed. Now going back to the equal protection claim, we say the standard is rational basis because as three circuits have in fact
held. Well, how do you distinguish the Claiborne case then?
Well, we read Claiborne as a version of rational
basis. It is
basis.
A version, but it's more exacting than the standard version.
Well, the court in Claiborne did not see any distinction between the uses that were permitted and the uses that were not allowed.
Of course, they could spin the same story there that they do here, right?
Well, we've taken great pains, I think, to separate the kinds of uses that are permitted as of right.
But what Mr. Hack points out is that because of all these amendments and everything, the city is a complete crazy quilt. You have very few contiguous commercial areas, and it's just very hard to see if the Chicago Club turned into a church. What difference it would make for the
well, we're really very mystified by why he thinks that argument helped him. The ZBA is very liberal in granting special uses. There 36 special uses were granted in a 2.5 year period to
That's
allow.
That's not the issue. The issue is after all the special uses are granted, your argument about the importance of contiguous commercial activity loses its factual basis. Just look around. It's very hard to see a place, maybe a Magnificent Mile is an exception, but in the rest of the city, it's very hard to see where if you replaced a saloon with a church or a club with a church or something like that, this would harm the city in some way.
Well, unless and until the club shows that it is similarly situated. The Colomy case demonstrates this very, very well from the Third Circuit. It interprets Claiborne to require the court to start with the question whether the synagogue in that case, or a church, is in fact similarly situated. The mere fact that it has the same impact turns zoning law on its head, and I quote the Third Circuit with those words. You don't need any zoning if you're just going to go by impact. The city has made an attempt.
But your whole brief is about the adverse impact that churches in commercial areas, and manufacturing and so on, have.
Obviously, we're not indifferent to that, but my point is that that is not the place to start. The place to start is with the determination whether churches really are similarly situated. And as we explained in our brief, and I have attempted to explain this morning, churches are not similarly situated precisely because they and they alone have access to the R neighborhoods, and they do have different characteristics from any of the uses that have been cited here. I see my time is up. We would ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Allen. Mr. Mack, how much time does he have? 3 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. On the question of rational basis, Claiborne does apply a more exacting standard. It says, what is the government interest, not just this vague commercial interest? And council did identify that. They like a flow of retail traffic. That's a rational basis. But the Chicago Code allows in the business and commercial districts wholesaling. It allows manufacturing. These are not retail uses. You're not going to get the flow there. And under Claiborne, there's no rational basis.
I'm sorry.
In the C district, manufacturing.
C allows wholesaling?
C1, C2, C3, manufacturing and wholesaling, light manufacturing and wholesaling. The Colomy case, which council cited, which is recently decided by the Third Circuit, said you had to look to similarly situated uses, not just the same effect. But Colomy was wrongly decided. They took the word similarly situated from the Claiborne Supreme Court decision and thought that meant that they're vaguely similar, but it means that they are treated the same under the law. And if you look in Claiborne back where that word similarly situated, that phrase comes from, the other opinions that the Supreme Court cited, it means are they treated the same under the law. So the Third Circuit just missed that. We've all taken phrases from the Supreme Court and missed what they meant, and they did. And the circuits that the council cites, the other decisions about having a building not being religious exercise, we believe they've all been discredited by Smith and Lukumi. They're all pre-Smith and pre-Lukumi cases. This free exercise needs to be analyzed by the recent Supreme Court cases, not the older circuit cases.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. Does Mr. Sturgill have time? No, I'm sorry, your time expired. Sorry. Okay, move on to the next case.